Welcome in Braves Today, bravestoday.com. He's Lindsey Crosby, by the way. Welcome back, Lindsey.
Thank you.
And I'm Ben Taylor, and it's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, get your 10% off. Got a lead with Sean Murphy, and I know that's recency bias, but when you have been out of the game as long as he has this year, and if this is any sign of things to come and him getting settled into Atlanta after going through last year, he's done the whole work of it, of getting hurt, doing rehab, going through the minors to bounce back. And then he comes out here and goes 4-for-4 as the first multi-hit game he's had, I think they said on the broadcast, since last year, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
And the one reason being is because you were running the numbers to me. He just hadn't seen the field this year.
Yeah, he had, going into today, he had like 52 at-bats. And that counts what he got on the home on the season opener before he got hurt. And so, like, batting 135, one home run, four RBIs, that was all he had. Well, again, 4-for-4, doubled the RBI count because they were both two-run home runs today. And the thing that I liked is three of those four balls were over 105 miles an hour. He was smoking baseballs. 108.7, 106.8, and 106.9. And so, like, three of the four hardest hit balls in the game were Sean Murphy. And outside of that magical weekend for Travis d'Arnaud, where he hit three home runs in one game and four in like a span of eight at-bats, we haven't really gotten a lot of power production from the catching position. I don't think Chadwick Tromp hit a single one while he was up.
No.
Murphy, d'Arnaud only had one or two more outside of that weekend binge. And so getting that extra pop from Murphy helps lengthen the lineup, which, like, to an extent that we haven't seen this season because of so many guys being out, whether it was Murphy being out, Ozzie missing time, Austin missing time, despite not being on the IL, and guys not being right early. So big, he's been looking more comfortable at the plate as the last 2 weeks have progressed, but today was definitely a great outing for Travis d'Arnaud, or for Sean Murphy. And it makes me feel good about what the offense is going to be able to do in the month of June. I also want to add, of their hard hit balls, which I think it was 10 of them, 8 were hits. So some of that natural randomness and variation has kind of started to turn as it's gotten hotter, and Atlanta's just had time to work out of the luck. We talk so much about, you know, they would see 3 of their 10 hard hit balls fall for hits, and they had 8 of 10 in the series finale on Wednesday.
There's a couple of guys that and I'm not going to name drop because, number one, people may not know their name. You would. Other people wouldn't, that live in the local area, and I've had a chance to play golf with them from time to time, former major league pitchers. And I don't think people understand how hard it is to sweep a team, regardless of how good, bad, or different that team is. So the fact that Atlanta gets a sweep and everybody goes, yeah, but it's the Tigers. I go, yeah, but it's a sweep. It doesn't matter if you're playing against – the last place team. Well, clearly, look at what you and I have talked about before. If you sweep the Marlins, the Marlins were just putrid at the first of the year, and then all of a sudden they climbed their way out of the cellar and started playing better. So any major league ball team that you sweep, you ought to go ahead and put a notch on your belt for that, because it's awesome. But to see somebody like Murphy be so involved in the run production on the final day that you and I have talked about, run production has been down for the Braves. Some of it, bad luck, because of hitting the ball right at people. However, with him, it just, they mentioned it during the broadcast. He pulled Ozuna to the side and asked him some tips and asked him some things to do. He's not the first player that's done this.
Yeah.
You and I find this hilarious because this is the same guy that was batting less than 100 last year. And people are getting hitting tips from him now because
over the last 162 games, he's like the greatest hitter in baseball history. So go with it. I mean, he's batting over 300 in his last 162 games. But kind of to your point, this is only the fourth sweep of the year for Atlanta. And the first three were all in April, right? Because you had Arizona to open the season at home. Then you had Houston on the road in early April. You had Miami in late April. And you haven't done it since then. So it's just hard to beat the same team three times. We talk about this a lot. They, but with your relievers, they've seen all your best stuff. They've seen your sequences. It's hard to do. And even though it's Detroit, Atlanta still did it, and that's worthy of celebrating.
Now, it's all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, 10% off. They won't roast those beans until you make your order. They'll ship them right to your door. And you know what? If you don't like beans and you like leaves, they also sell tea as well. You can get that, or you can flavor your coffee, as they have a bunch of different flavors to choose from. It's easy to find. Plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, get your 10% off. Okay, I bring up Ozuna and him being putrid last year. I would like to see that turnaround come from Arcia, because he now from the plate defensively, awesome to have in the field, makes unbelievable plays. However, from the plate, he is a hole in the lineup right now, and it's almost an automatic out when he comes up.
Yeah, he's batting in the nine hole, and it kind of feels sometimes like it's just a pitcher with a little bit more pop, right? He started off fine. He batted like 250 in the month of April. But since then, his May OPS was 539. His June OPS is 477 through the series finale. And batting average below 200, below his weight in both of those two things. And you're in a tough spot here, right? It really hurt in May because the offense wasn't producing. Now that the offense is producing in June, I feel like, one, because his defense is really good, and because the rest of the offense is doing better from a run production standpoint, first two games of the series notwithstanding, I feel like he's going to have a little bit more runway to try to see if he can figure it out and turn it around, simply because the defense is really good. I mean, best defense of his career, it feels like, and he's probably a Gold Glove candidate as of now, but he's one of the worst hitters in baseball in the month of June from a sheer numbers. I mean, OPS, WRC plus, all of those numbers. He's one of the worst hitters. And the organization doesn't have a lot of position player talent. They don't have a lot of great shortstop talent, but you just put your top position player prospect in AAA and he's performing. And so I'm not saying they're going to bench Orlando Arcia, but the conversations will be had if Nacho Alvarez keeps producing in Gwinnett and Arcia keeps not producing at the plate in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, what's the trade-off? Like you just said, do you just definitely need the defense, or could you afford an error every now and then if you had somebody that actually produced some runs? And and that's kind of the trade-off you get. Now, again, kind of the same conversation, a reverse conversation with Ozuna and Arcia is, Ozuna made those adjustments last year. This is the same guy that was batting around 300 last year in Arcia, started out, like you said, in April, right around just 280-ish, 260, 270-ish, and then has just plummeted since in May and June. I guess, Lindsay, what's he doing wrong? Is he looked today, his at-bats looked terrible. He looked off balance. He was arguing, you know, kind of rolling his eyes at balls and strikes.
Wasn't happy at the ball strike calls. Yeah.
Was, and some of them, I think he had a legitimate beef, but that low strike zone was given to all pitchers today. So some of the ones that looked a little below his knees that he ended up taking, that you and I have talked about this. If an umpire's bad, as long as he's consistently bad, the players know what to do and they can adjust. If they know that that low strike is being called, he never adjusted. He swung right over the top of it. Even at the ends, he still wasn't seeing it.
Yeah. In his time in Atlanta as a starter, he's always been really good against fastballs, and he's been pretty decent against curveballs, right? Last year, plus 6 run value on four-seam fastballs, plus 9 run value on curveballs. He's still maintaining being decent against curveball. He's at plus 1 right now. That is a rate stat. That is a volume stat, counting stat. The more you do it, the more you're going to get. But he's been bad against fastballs. And this is something that we saw. Ronald Acuña Jr. had this same issue where he somehow was bad against fastballs. Austin Riley, for a while there, was the worst hitter in baseball against fastballs. Teams have realized for some reason that Orlando Arcia is struggling with fastballs. They're throwing him more. He's seeing almost 30% fastballs. It is 5% more than he did last year. And he's batting only 216 off of the pitch. Whereas last year, he batted, depending on the type of fastball, sometimes as close to as good as 300 off of fastballs. He's striking out 25% of the time off of fastballs. Last year, it was below 20%. And I don't really know what the fix is. And it feels like this is something he has to be sitting something else. He's always struggled against sliders. He was bad against sliders last year. He was bad against sliders in a small sample in 22. And it feels like he's trying to avoid that happening again. Mm-hmm. And he's still bad against sliders. He's worse against sliders this year than he was last year. But he's also not catching up to four seamers and sinkers and things like that. And so I don't know what it's going to take. And again, the hard part is Nacho Alvarez is performing really well in Gwinnett. And part of that could just be Mississippi's the hardest ballpark in all of baseball to hit home runs in. It is terrible. He's never been a power hitter. He hit 7 last year in the entire season in high A Rome, but he's already hit 3 in his first 6 games in Gwinnett. And he's batting .293 on the season. Not known for a ton of power, but his defense is solid. I wouldn't call him amazing, but his defense is solid. And if he continues to do really well and Orlando Arcia continues to struggle or has some sort of minor injury, who knows if when they have to find a new shortstop for an injury replacement, if it would be Alvarez. And if it is, who knows if he'd give the job back. Atlanta's promoted guys from double A straight to the majors before.
Yeah.
This is one where he's had a week in triple A. Maybe he's the next guy. Who knows?
Speaking of the next guy, let's talk pitching a little bit. As of course, Lopez continues to do exactly what Lopez is not supposed to be doing, which is being a great starting pitcher that nobody can touch. And is actually, I mean, he's got Cy Young like numbers. I mean,
he's ridiculous. The ERA leader in baseball as of right now.
Yeah.
Now he's not going to be the ERA leader by the time he gets to his next start because you have to pitch one inning per team game. Mm-hmm. And I have that in my game takeaways. He has 74 innings through 72 games for Atlanta. So he is going to fall out of the ERA leaderboards before his next start. But if he goes at least 5 or 6 innings, he'll catch back up and he'll be back on the leaderboards. But he leads baseball in ERA right now.
That's fantastic. I mean, it's just
1.57.
Wow. And is anybody that saw the last game of the series in the series sweep, his last inning, he actually was up around 99, 98.
He touched 99 in the game
to end his start. So that's part of the good. Another part of the good, some of the newcomers that have come about as far as relief is concerned. You and I have talked about we never can have too much relief pitching. I love the fact that some of these new guys have come up and they've done well. You just kind of never know. We'll get to the bad and ugly, which I think is a combo thing here momentarily. But it's just good to see some of these guys come up and start contributing to the team already, even in a loss earlier where the relief was not the issue. It was by the time you got to the closer, which you know how I feel about that, but starter and
you
closer.
You love Rizal Iglesias.
The bane of my existence. And I will say the guys give me crap. Everybody that's watching for Braves today, we've got a Discord and we start talking and I can't stand it every time he comes in. It bothers me every single time. And if he gives up a run, all it does is just justify what I'm saying. However, 9 times out of 10, he does not do anything wrong. He does everything he's supposed to do right.
Literally 19 saves and 21 opportunities. It's literally 1 out of every 10 he doesn't convert. And over 90%, you'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's become my shtick now, and I'm sticking with it. Some of the new guys that we've seen that have been able to grace the mound. I just wasn't paying that much attention to them in the lower levels, but they seem to be very comfortable at the major league level.
Yeah. Grant Holmes coming up first time in literally 10 years of minor league baseball. Love the story. He pitched twice in this series, did not give up a run, pitched, I think 4 innings, something like 2 hits, no walks, which I think is big. Deisabel Hernandez now has 5 innings on the year, no earned runs, 1 unearned run, but it's 7 strikeouts, 3 walks. Jimmy Herget, who they got in a cash trade after he was DFA'd, he's on the injured list, but has a 3.68 ERA. And then to me, the two big guys who we knew could be good, I don't think we realized could be this good. Mm-hmm. Joe Jimenez has absolutely stepped up, and they knew he was going to be a good guy. That's why they got him from the Tigers. They gave up Justin Henry Molloy, who is a major league outfielder, which we needed going into this. But he has stepped up without AJ Minter, pitched in the first 2 games, converted a save, had a hold. And then Jesse Chavez, 29 2/3 innings, 1.21 ERA. And this is a guy that couldn't make the White Sox out of spring training. And it's, I don't know if it's just the fact that he loves Atlanta or what, but he is that, he is the absolute, I think, saving grace of this bullpen.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy that can do anything you need. He can come in the eighth and, you know, bridge you to your closer. Yep. He can come in the second if somebody gets hurt and give you three innings at the drop of a hat. He's been fantastic. And honestly, I want him to make his first career All-Star game this year. I really,
yeah.
Fans don't get to vote on relievers. That is something that are usually, it's usually a team, a manager pick and things like mm-hmm. that. I want Jesse Chavez to make the All-Star game, not just because it's a good story, yep. but because he deserves it. 23 outings, again, 29 and two-thirds innings, 1.21 ERA. I mean, opponent batting average just over 200. He's one of the best relievers, non-closer relievers in baseball.
And he doesn't even wow you. It doesn't look like he's doing anything special, but he just, for some reason, they can't touch him when they do. It's just, it's some sort of ground ball. It's some sort of just
it's location.
He
can spot the cutter and the sinker to both sides of the plate, to both handedness. And sometimes that's all you need to do. I mean, he's got two good pitches. He can spot them really well, and he can throw as long as you need him to. And that's all you really have to ask for.
And when I talk about, of course, that's the old guy, but when I talk about new guys, we got to mention Schwellenbach. I thought his outing was just superb. It was something that it was totally unexpected by me. I mean, I was just hoping that he would get through and hopefully Atlanta would score some runs for him. They did not score a bunch of runs for him while he was out there. So he had to put the team on his back, and he did so in this series against the Tigers.
Yeah, the thing for Spencer Schwellenbach, which I think a lot of people maybe didn't realize or give him credit for, is he absolutely pounds the zone. He throws a ton of strikes. Mm-hmm. I saw a stat going into today of the pitchers who have made at least four starts. He is top five in first pitch strikes. He gets ahead of guys early. And the issue he had in those first two games, the Washington game and the Boston yeah. game, and Boston especially, was two strike hits and putting guys away. And you can see how he's improved at that. Two six inning games, total of three earned runs mm-hmm. in across those two, brought the ERA all the way down to 4.98. And for a guy who, one, has not pitched a ton, he was not a starter in college, he was a reliever in college, he missed a full year in the minors to injury after Tommy John, and pitched just last year. And for a guy who's not getting a lot of run support, Atlanta averages a run and a half per game in his games. They've scored two runs three times, and they've been shut out once in his games. To be 1-2 is a testament to just how much of a gamer he is, how much of a great athlete he is. And I think if he had a full year of starting in the rotation, he could win a gold glove on the mound because he was the starting shortstop at Nebraska.
Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting that.
Like, and Max Fried's been the gold glove pitcher in the National League when he's been healthy, so not last year. But if he leaves, I think Spencer Schwellenbach could compete for a gold glove on the mound. Not that that's the thing that matters the most, but you know who has the most gold gloves of anybody in baseball?
Greg Maddux, isn't it? Yep. Greg Maddux. Not shocked there. And you mentioned Chavez just a little bit ago, and I don't know if you saw the feature during the game, the final game of the series, how he started a few years ago. Every pitcher that ever warms up in that bullpen or graces that bullpen's presence, even if they're a starting pitcher, even warming up out there, they sign their name on a brick. They've got the bricks by year. I think he started it in 21, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So they had 21, 22, 23, and 24. Waldrop did not sign inside the brick like he was supposed to, which is pretty much significant of what he's done this season, not being able to hit the zone. So they ended up having to paint over it, and then he had to re-sign the correct brick. So I make that transition, Lindsay, to say that I'm part of the problem. He was throwing at the University of Florida last year, and I wanted him starting this year and being – I wanted him pitching last – I kept begging you, Lindsay, can we call him up before the season's over with? Can we get him to get an inning or two, maybe middle relief? And you were like, no, he can't throw anymore. He's done. And so I'm part of the problem, but that has been part of the quote-unquote – I said good, bad, and ugly. That's the bad and ugly. That ERA has gone north, and he has just not looked comfortable.
Yeah, 16.71. And the thing for Hurston Waldrop in these two starts is he looked really good early, and then when he got into that second time through the order, he just could not get out. Could not buy an out. He has a total of 3 outs in the fourth inning in his first 2 starts and 13 runs. He allowed more runs than he did hits because he walked 4 in each game. And like, it's the consensus here among everybody that we, you know, that everybody in the press box and everybody on the beat and stuff is that he's incredibly talented. He's just not ready. He's pitched 84 innings and change in the minors, and it's harder than ever to move from AAA to the majors, especially because he's been pitching down there with automated balls and strikes for half the week.
Yep.
The talent level in AAA is consensus lower than it's been in previous years because the size of your minors is smaller and all of that. It's just harder to have those quad A guys and those former major leaguers who know all the tricks and everything. It's harder to have those guys in AAA. And so he's on the IL right now because of elbow soreness. He was dealing with it after the start, but I don't think they would have called him up if they didn't need him.
Yep.
Right. Plan A when you needed another starter was Bryce Elder. Plan B was AJ Smith-Shawver. They didn't want to call Spencer Schwellenbach straight from AA.
Nope.
They didn't want to call Hurston Waldrop up after 84 and two-thirds innings. They had to do it because they didn't, because Elder didn't look good. Smith-Shawver got hurt. And he did his job, right? Mm-hmm. He bought the rest of the starters some rest, some extra days of rest, right? So that was what he was here to do. My only hope is that he doesn't lose prospect eligibility on the injured list, because I do think once he gets enough minor league seasoning, he has the workload history to do a full season in the majors. And if he opened up next year in the rotation and has had the time and the experience underneath him to succeed, he could be a candidate for Rookie of the Year. I think he's that good.
Yeah.
He's just not ready yet. And I think we saw once he gets that second time through the order, these major league hitters, he doesn't have enough of the tips and tricks on how to get these guys out to be successful at the major league level yet.
As I said, I'll take partial responsibility. A lot of other fans need to own that as well, just because we were all begging to get him. We got him. Looks like we forced a round peg in a square hole for right now. However, I do think that, as you just said, I think the future is bright for him. Those of you that are chirping online, or I mentioned talking about how he's not as good as we all thought he would. No, he is that good. I mean, clearly, you look, Lindsay just mentioned it. It's that fourth inning. Look at the first 3 innings. Then it's them coming back around. So once he learns and once he moves past, and it's also, I would like to him, even if he fails a little bit, stay in the majors just to spend some more time with like a Travis d'Arnaud to learn some of those tips and some of those tricks.
One of the big things that I'll say, and this came up, I think, in a story from Mark Bowman of MLB.com about Spencer Schwellenbach, is Schwellenbach talking about how much he's learned from that clubhouse. Not only just the veteran catchers and Murphy and d'Arnaud, but talking to Chris Sale, talking to Charlie Morton, talking to Max Fried and Jesse Chavez. And like, that's, to me, that's why spring training is such a big deal.
Yep.
Because those young guys getting to be in the clubhouse with these veterans. And I think this might be, if you can swing it, this might be a better situation because they're not working on trying to get ready for the season like they are in spring. They're in it, right? Yep. They're doing this every day. They're watching your outings. They're in the dugout. They're cheering you on, and they're definitely giving you notes. And so all of this experience is invaluable. And I'm honestly glad that they're out there doing it.
We will have a preview pod of the Yankee series because they are the hottest team in baseball right now. And we'll bring that to you as far as tomorrow is concerned. It's all been brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com. Promo code Braves. Get your 10% off. He's Lindsey Crosby. Lindsey's stuff is always up on bravestoday.com. You can find it and see some of the cool notes and some of the takeaways that he's able to produce throughout the week that'll keep you guys clued in a little bit more than what you probably even should be. Anytime I'm in downtime, I go there and I just look at some of the because I forgot, what was that article that you wrote that was like, it was like 30,000 words? It was, I forgot which
what one. Was wrong with the Braves offense?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it. It was like 1700. Like, I didn't intend to write a 1700 word article. It just came out that way.
Yeah, but it had to, man, with all the breakdown that you did and all the numbers, like you had to do that. Like after I, cause you warned me and then I read it and I was like, I don't know that you could have shortened that. I think it had to be that length. So, yeah. Go check out that cool stuff as well. Lindsay, as always, I greatly appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, buddy.